Hello and welcome to the midweek St Mirren show on St Mirren Radio from the Paisley 2021 Stadium. On tonight's show, we hear an extended interview with David Longwell, who tells us how the under-20s are getting on this season. He also discusses the pathway to the first team and working alongside Alex Ray and David Farrell, while Chief Executive Brian Colwell tells us about the success of First Foot Friday. But first, we spoke to David Farrell about returning to football, the January transfer window, and looking ahead to Saturday's game against Raith Rovers.
Thanks, David, for joining us on the Midweek St Mirren Show. How does it feel to be back in the saddle again?
It feels great. It feels great to be back at training. It feels great to be back in among football people. It's great to be getting my hands dirty, working on the training ground with players, and taking on a big challenge, because obviously we want to be higher up in the league than we are at the moment. So we've got a lot of work to do, and it just feels brilliant to be back in among things.
How did it feel for you to get that call from Alex Ray again to be back involved?
It was a bit mixed, to be honest, at first, because I had kind of been a wee bit settled when we were driving the taxi, and having been out for 18 months, you kind of get used to things. It was a difficult decision because, obviously, having been in the game a lot, you understand some of the things that go on. And obviously, I was doing a bit of writing, and there was a possibility of one or two things in the media that could have been coming off. So it was a lot to consider, but ultimately, the opportunity to get back as an assistant manager and a coach was just too much of a pull.
So you mentioned there about your writing. You wrote an article that went on the Set Pieces website this morning, and yep. You said on your Twitter that it would probably be the last bit of writing you got the chance to do for a while.
Yep.
Do you think you'll miss that, or do you think being back in the thick of the football was just a big pull for you and that'll kind of keep your attention?
It's not something I'll miss. It just got something that I got accustomed to doing. I enjoyed doing it. But always in my life, in the background or in the foreground, was football. So when the opportunity comes to take that again, then I was always going to do that, especially at a club like St Mirren, who, if we're all going to be honest, shouldn't be where they are at the moment. And it's up to us to try and change things, move things forward and progress and see where it takes us.
So you were at the Raith Rovers game last night, I believe, with the manager.
Yep.
How was that in terms of, you know, preparation for Saturday? Did you see areas that you might need to work on in training?
Of course. It's key. That's why we do these things. Alex and I are keen to get out to as many games as we can. We always do. Football management coaching isn't just a job that you do for 2 hours a day in the training ground. Over the last fortnight, we've attended 7 games. So, you know, that'd be first team games, under 20 games, friendlies. So it's important that you do that. You've got to get out there and you've got to see how other teams play. You've got to see what kind of players are available. And last night was obviously key for us because it means that we can get a good look at Raith Rovers. We already had them watched on Saturday anyway. But it's important that we can get an idea ourselves how they play and see what their strengths are and see, ultimately, more importantly, what their weaknesses are and what we can exploit.
How big a game do you think that's going to be? Because Raith Rovers at the moment are sitting in fourth place. They're 9 points ahead of St Mirren. A win there cuts that gap down to 6. Do you think this is a really big game on Saturday?
See, from when I came in the door 2 weeks ago, I've only looked at what we can do between now and the end of the season. Saturday is as big a game as last Saturday was. If we have ambitions of climbing the league, Saturday, I would say, is a game that we have to win. But I also have to temper that with the fact that we've won 2 of our first 3 league games under Alex. And if you'd have asked many people, would that have been possible 3 weeks ago? I'm sure there wouldn't have been many would have agreed. So we think we've made good strides already. We like to think we look a little bit more hard to beat, and it's up to us now to be a wee bit more aggressive and a wee bit more forward thinking as well. And I'm not going to set any targets. The aim this season for us is to consolidate, to be more difficult to beat and ultimately to get results, and whatever that takes us, it takes us. It would be stupid of me to say that the game this week is going to determine the rest of the season, because hopefully we'll get some players in over the next few weeks and build towards the end of the season and just see where we are then.
You mentioned there about maybe bringing in some players. Have you identified anybody specifically, or are there any positions that you're looking at strengthening?
Over the last fortnight, we've probably identified between 10 and 12 players. The difficulty is, other managers will tell you that players are available or players can go out on loan. Firstly, we have to decide, are they going to improve the team, the squad? Because ultimately they're available because the other managers don't believe that they're good enough for their squad. So we have to try and determine if they're going to improve what we have. And we're not going to rush in and sign the first two or three players that become available, because that would be crazy. It would be a waste of the limited budget that we have. So it's important for us. We have identified a lot of players. We have already started narrowing that down. And in fact, some of them have already been ruled out either by us or by the clubs, who have now decided that those players that were available at the start of January are no longer available. But we'll continue to work very, very hard, and I guarantee that we'll get two or three players in before the end of January.
That was new assistant manager David Farrell talking about being at St Mirren so far and looking ahead to the Raith Rovers game this Saturday. You can follow him on Twitter at David Farrell Faz, and you can also follow us at St Mirren Radio for all the latest.
You're listening to the St Mirren Show, brought to you by the University of the West of Scotland. Look at what you could learn at uws.ac.uk.
So, as ever, I'm joined by Dalen Docherty. Dalen, looking ahead to this Saturday's game against Raith Rovers, how vital is it, given that David Farrell there was talking about consolidation? Is there a possibility, if St Mirren win this game, that playoffs can still be a realistic chance?
I think I have to agree with David Farrell in the sense that St Mirren have to consolidate what they have at the minute. There's, for me, I wouldn't push the boat on trying to push for playoff places, though this league is a very cutthroat league, Sabaris. I just don't believe the club and the team have it in them this season to keep going and push for that playoff. I think they should just try and get a very comfortable position, maybe 6th or 7th. I know it's not what the fans would want to hear, but it's better than being in the relegation places, which they were in a few weeks ago on Boxing Day. So I feel that, as David Farrell rightly says, it's time to consolidate your position and secure a championship place for next season and then push on from there.
You talk about securing a championship place for next season. I think we talk about this every week. Will St Mirren finally win a home league game to consolidate that place? Because they really need their home form really needs to turn, doesn't it?
Well, Shabaris, you are the man who comes into the studio every single week and tells us it's going to be this weekend. So by that, you should say it's not going to be this weekend. But you've got to look at it in the terms of probability. It has to land at some point, this league win. You feel they were a wee bit short of the mark on Friday night. The gulf between the Premiership and the Championship kind of showed up. And I think, Livingston maybe turns out to be a bit of a freak result with the win at Morton and stuff. So you've maybe got to look at it and go, he's getting closer, Alex Ray. So, and it's not just a home win for the fans this season. And Alex Ray will want to get his first home win as manager of the football club. And we've seen if Aston Villa can do it, get a win yesterday, then surely it can land eventually for St Mirren.
Of course, in a home game here against Raith Rovers, St Mirren conceded quite a late goal to Grant Anderson. But in the replay of the match in Starks Park, Malin got an 88th minute equaliser.
Yep.
But again, it's that kind of last minute scenario with St Mirren. Do you think this Saturday is important for them to perform from start to finish? Given that this season, they've they've been quite sparse and they've not really played well. They've only played well in patches.
I feel your assessment is quite bang on there, Sabaris, that they have at times not been concentrating enough. You know, they've given away a lot of penalties this season through the defence, and yeah, they have to be more concentrated and play fully concentrated for the 90 minutes. It's a pretty obvious assessment, but it's an important one at that. But yeah, they have to be concentrated. I mean, Alloa went to Raith Rovers yesterday and created an absolute superb result. You know, winning 1-0. I don't know if that's a good thing for St Mirren or a bad thing, but you know, it keeps Raith within touching distance. But as I said, you want to just consolidate your position. But you feel, you know, there'll be a reaction from Raith Rovers on Saturday, and St Mirren will have to be aware of that. And hopefully they can get this home win that's so badly needed.
Now, we've talked a lot recently about Lawrence Shanklin, how he's been given a new lease of life. He's now St Mirren's top league goal scorer with 5 goals this season.
Yep.
Just how vital is it for him to play well on Saturday and the team to give him the service?
Yeah, absolutely. I know Keith Watson got the goal against Partick Thistle. So I kind of brought his hot streak to an end. But league-wise, he's went from 3 goals up to 5 in the space of the click of a finger. So it's important to get the service to Lawrence Shanklin, and he's shown that he's a bit of a poacher. I know he's been trying to come short a lot this season, look for the ball, and be playing with a partner in Gallagher, but that's not quite worked out. So I think they need to get the service to him, and I'm sure with the type of goal scorer that he is, Lawrence Shanklin, he'll put the ball in the net.
Just one more final thing to pick up in that interview from David Farrell. He mentioned there about trying to bring in 2 or 3 players possibly.
Yep.
What do you think St Mirren need?
Well, I think we spoke about this last week. I think they need somebody that's quite like Jim Goodwin. They need a centre defender, and I think they would probably need a striker in as well. So I think at the end of the day, that's almost like a spine in the team. You can't really buy that overnight, but whether they get it in this window or in the summer window, we can only wait and see.
This is St Mirren Radio, brought to you by the University of the West of Scotland. Look at what you could learn at uws.ac.uk.
The St Mirren under-20s continued their fine form on Monday afternoon as they defeated Dunfermline 4-1 away from home. Josh Beattie, Jason McGrath and a double from Barry Cuttehay secured the win. James Hunter caught up with David Longwell yesterday at the St Mirren training complex in Ralston to discuss how the under-20s are getting on this season and about how he's worked with Alex Ray so far.
So we're here to talk about the under-20s. Can you just firstly start by telling us a little bit about how they're doing in the league this season?
Very well this season. It's always they're always unsure regarding the young group of boys for year to year how they're going to do, but this year they've really excelled. Start of the season, they didn't start particularly too well. First couple of games, I think we lost against Aberdeen, lost against Rangers, went picked up for a game, then we lost to Dunfermline, and then we went on an unbelievable rank. We were unbeaten about 10, we lost another couple, and then recently again they've kicked on. So you know, been, as a kind of general point of view, they've been good, performance has been good, and as a bonus, they're sitting third in the league now, which is great, for their point of view, I think it's great credit to them, because the majority of the time you play young players, which I think is what the basis of this club's all about, to try and develop young players through, and to be sitting third in the league in the quarterfinals of the Cup, they've done really well, so pleased.
So you mentioned they're sitting quarterfinals in the Cup, comprehensively probably outplayed Rangers when you played them at Paisley 2021 Stadium. It's Ross County in the next round. Is a Cup run important, do you think, for a player's development?
For us in here, it's massive, I think. I think if you look over the years, the Youth Cup's been pretty special for our point of view, because it just gives the kids some sort of goal, some sort of, I don't know, a competitive edge that I think you need to have when you get in the first team environment. So over the past number of years, we've managed to get to semi-finals regularly, quarter-finals. Unfortunately, we've managed to get to the final, just for the way it's kind of went in, but we've always managed to progress. I think it's a credit to, again, the boys we've had in here, getting all the way back, that we've managed to get into the kind of later stages of the Cup. And I think this year, we had an easier round in the first round, but the second round there, which is it's classed as the fourth round, the way it works in against Rangers, obviously going to be hard, but they were excellent. We had a game plan against Rangers, which I thought the boys executed magnificently well in the night, and I thought we'd done really well on how we wanted to play, and I think for their development it was excellent, just regarding obviously having that game plan, how we're going to try and go and win the game, and I think it was gratifying for them. The work they put in was actually then rewarded in the night. So.
Can you explain to us a little bit about that game plan? Because usually you play from the back, from the goalkeeper, mm-hmm. but you mentioned to me that you changed it up that night.
We changed it a wee bit. I think it was one of the things that I think Rangers assumed they were going to play in a certain way, so we wanted to try and catch them out a little bit, so we changed our system. We knew how they were going to play, they're quite open expansive, so we played like kind of 4-2-2-2, and it was to try and hurt them in certain areas, and it worked for us. You know, the first goal came from their shape, in our opinion, the way it kind of worked in, and we also thought we decided to, as opposed to just getting it for the back all the time, we tried to mix up a little bit that night, just to try and catch them out, and I think that worked for us, because I think they would have assumed and with a plan that we're going to come out, they're going to press high up the pitch, but we mixed it. So we, as opposed to doing it every single time, we had a wee bit of a variation of play that night, and I thought it worked for us, you know. And it was one of those ones that we went 2-0 up, and we could have went more, and then we made the game a bit difficult for ourselves near the end. And you've got to give them credit, because they're a good team, they had decent possession, but our game plan and how we want to go about actually worked. And I say, for them to go and beat Rangers, and Rangers are a strong team, you know, we were fortunate enough that Jack Baird played in the game, but you're still missing guys like Stevie Mallon, who's still eligible to play. Rangers had obviously their strongest team out, and it was delighted for us that we actually managed to beat them. So.
You talked there, you had Jack Baird, Stevie Mallon still eligible to play, but he's been involved in the first team most of the season. Talk to us a little bit about under-20s progression to the first team.
I think it's been massive in here over the years. It used to be under-19s football, it used to be 20s football. What bothers me is all the media hype going on about how things aren't working. I think that the actual system's actually been okay. It's to do with your style of play, your coaching, and the demands you put on young players. It doesn't matter about ages and whatever it may be. So what we've tried to do with the under-19s as it was, or under-20s, and under-20s just now is under-20s with 5 over-age players. But what we've consistently done in the football club is we never, ever, usual. I think once this season we've maybe played a few older ones, but consistently we play the under-20s. So we're playing against some of the teams a lot of the time that are older than us. Even like Kelly last week, we're playing like guys like Callan Higginbottom, Ross Barber, regulars in their first team. But I think that's been to their benefit. Because they're playing against older players, I think it makes it a wee bit easier with that transition to the first team. So if you look at somebody like Stephen Mallon, Jack Baird, never been out on loan, they've always been at St Mirren. Because they played all the way through the under-20s, league, I think it's helped them, and it's given them that platform to now play in the first team. And the same goes with there's a number of boys. We've got someday you'll find that you got a very good crop, and I say that 96 group of kids we've got is very good. You could rhyme through them. Stevie and Jack, and you've got Jordan Stewart, Lewis McLeay, Lewis Morgan, Barry Cuddihy, Dan Wilkes, and so on and so forth. So they're a good crop, and it's one of these ones that I think they're a strong group. And on top of that, you then get the younger ones that again we're pushing through into the under-20s. And our development plan's always been to try and play younger ones within the 20s as opposed to playing over-age players. And if you look at the development process over the years, I think it's worked for us.
You mentioned the likes of Jordan Stewart, Lewis Morgan and Lewis McLear, all been involved in the first team this season, but mainly under-20s players. How have they progressed over the season, being involved in the first team as well?
You've also got on top of that Barry Cuddihy. So they've been kind of periodically in and out of the first team, maybe they've started a couple of games, and I think that needs to happen sometimes. You've got so many younger ones, but they've all got real talent. But to see the credit, and I think it's just the way we've run this football club, is they can get a wee bit of snobbery sometimes, that when players are maybe in the first team squads, what they boys are, they then go and play these like under-20s development games. But to be fair to them, their attitude and their dedication towards doing things correctly has been second to none. Never gave us any bother. It's like some boys obviously getting that mindset, well, should we play with the first team? And yeah, there were opportunities for them. You've got to be a bit patient sometimes, but their commitment when they come in and play with the under-20s group or any of the games has been excellent. And they're a big part of why we're doing so well this season.
What has Alex Ray's philosophy been like with working with the 20s and stuff?
No, he's been good. He's been really good. I say it's been good, him and David Farrell coming in, because they've brought real enthusiasm and energy to the club at a difficult time again, which I think was needed. But the good thing regarding the manager is that right away, the first training session he did, there was a lot of aspects within that that I thought, well, that's really good, because it's quite similar to obviously how we're trying to coach and develop kids. But their fundamentals are the most important things, about having the right attitude, the right work ethic, having those demands to try and get yourself obviously good performance results. And it's different in the first team, because there's a lot more pressure than there is in a development team because of what's at stake. And unfortunately, you're sitting in a position that a lot of people would feel is false. A lot of people think that we need to be higher up the table, and I think with the guys in charge it will be. So regarding not so much philosophy, it's just about getting the fundamentals right just now. When the manager comes in, about working harder, trying to get more out of the players that are there and try and get them up the league. And I do think, if you look at, in fairness to the two teams since they've come in, they've got 6 points out of 9 in the league, beating Morton, so it's been positive. And I think he's added that extra wee kind of surge that we needed, and I think there's a lot more to come, because obviously the more time he's in here, the more impact he can have. But regarding with the boys as well, They've came to the games, every game we've had, they've been there, and they've been very supportive, you know. So it's been positive up to now, so hopefully that continues. I'm sure it will do. So.
You say about them having similar kind of fundamentals as the development team. How important is it, do you think, it is to have that structure from the first team all the way down?
It's imperative if you can. It's difficult. I think the fallacy in Scottish football or football in general, it should be coming from the club all the way up and down. And sometimes that gets fragmented because it depends if managers come and go. In fact, the last few managers that were in here have been fine, to be honest with you. You know, they've always been very supportive because I think they recognise the work that goes on in here. I mean, for St Mirren Football Club, as I say, to be sitting with a kind of rating of the third highest in the country, it's hard work. So I think they recognise the work that goes on from a lot of the younger, younger age coaches we have in here, because the commitment and dedication they put in, the boy Jamie Duncan's worked with me for about 9-10 years. Don't get paid loads of money, but his commitment and dedication to develop players, and he's worked with a lot of the boys that have been here, and a lot of the guys that worked for myself and worked for the club deserve a lot of credit. And I think that when the manager and that came in, their fundamentals are the same. They want to come in and work hard, and I think it just links them together. So it's imperative that you have that link. If you don't get that link, it's very, very difficult. You need to have a good relationship from here to here, but it's up to the manager to believe in what you're trying to do, and it's up to the manager to trust you and try and give you the support that you require. And in fairness, at the time they've been in, they've been excellent, you know.
So we've seen the likes of Lewis Morgan, Lewis McClear, Jordan Stewart and Barry Cuddy feature on the side this season. Added to that list, we've seen the likes of Jack Baird, Sean Kelly and Stevie Mallon be almost ever present in the team this season. So Dalen, just how encouraging is it to have young talent coming through at St Mirren?
Well, I personally think, you know, it's absolute credit to David Longwell's team. You know, they're up to third in the league, I believe. So absolute brilliant stuff to David Longwell, and I do believe, you know, that St Mirren have one of the best youth setups in Scotland. You know, they're a five-star youth setup. Celtic Rangers have only got any better, and they've got their criticisms, whereas a lot of the players that are coming through here, they seem to be plucking gems from the community, because such the vast community programmes that St Mirren do, especially, you know, the street football and stuff like that. You know, it's excellent, and it's absolute credit to David Longwell and the young boys. And that team with the likes of Jason McGrath and Barry Cuddihy and stuff like that, guys like that, you know. And you look at the product that's came out of the club, you know, like the likes of Kenny McLean up at Aberdeen, John McGinn at Hibs. You know, John McGinn's at Hibs just now, and a lot of fans were sad to see him go, and he gets a mixed reception. That's understandable, but you know, John McGinn's the type of player at Hibs where, you know, he's not going to be at Hibs for too long as well. He's going to go on to even bigger things. And it's a credit to this football club, and they should take in a lot of incredible pride by it.
Do you think also a reason why they're so good and their youth product is so good, given, is it because of the club's kind of small stature? Because Rangers and Celtic are in the limelight quite a lot in the kind of west of Scotland, Glasgow area. I know we're in Paisley, but is it important because these players I've been given the opportunity to play consistent games, whereas youth and maybe Rangers or Celtic have only been given one, two games a season or even substitute appearances. But as we mentioned, the likes of Jack Baird, Sean Kelly and Stephen Mallon, they've all played consistent games this season, haven't they?
Absolutely. I feel like with this club, it offers the opportunity to play in the first team. You're absolutely right. The likes of Celtic and Rangers, who are on St Mirren's doorstep, they don't offer that opportunity to the youngsters because of the resources they have financially. And I mean, for me, like, if I was, you know, more talented at playing football than I am, which is not very, if I had the chance to go to all three, you would look at the one with an excellent setup and the chance to play in the first team, and that's St Mirren for me. And you know, and they're absolute credit, you know, to the football club, and they just need to continue it. And you look at the likes of Stevie Mallon, you know, Stevie Mallon's a lot of eyes are on him, and that's because he's coming from a youth setup that's nurtured his raw ability and shown how much an excellent product he is, and hopefully St Mirren can hang on to him for a good amount of years. But he's an excellent, excellent player, and he's a credit to the club.
On the park, First Foot Friday may not have been a success for St Mirren as they lost 2-1 to Partick Thistle in the fourth round of the Scottish Cup. However, off the park there was a different story and we caught up with Brian Caldwell to find out how it all went.
I thought it went really well. The feedback we got from most of the people that were involved and went to the mixed areas was very positive as well. There were no issues at all at the game. Obviously, there was a couple jumped the perimeter when Partick scored, but that wasn't from the mixed areas. And I think the people who were involved, the feedback we got, as I say, they really enjoyed going to be able to go to the game together, mixing with their own, you know, with their friends who maybe supported a rival team. But however, you know, it just shows how family orientated and how good our support are and Partick Thistle support are as well.
There was a lot of tension in the media about this fan zone, and do you think because of the good nature of the game and what you've just discussed, the positivity that the club can kind of build on that?
Definitely. I think, I mean, that was the part of the reason that we came up with the idea in the first place, was trying to show that St Mirren are totally different from certain other clubs nearby, you know, and that we're so family orientated that, and it was to get that whole ethos, the whole thought process, and, you know, that people locally, especially in Renfrewshire, could then say, be thinking to themselves, my goodness, how family orientated, how community driven St Mirren must be, that it must be a really safe environment to go to a football game where you can mix the supporters, you can be sitting beside opposition supporters, because I don't think that many clubs, you know, certain clubs couldn't do that, and I think we did it really, really well, and hopefully it in the future, people will then start to think, well, do you know what? St Mirren are doing things a wee bit differently and they're very family orientated. So that's a safe place for me to get my son or my daughter or me to go and support the local football team.
You've just kind of touched on it there, Brian. The kind of hope that St Mirren can lead by example and other clubs around Scotland can bring other fans in and sit amongst the home supporters and basically, as you say, enhance that feeling of a community-driven family club.
I definitely think you could pick and choose certain games. We obviously wanted to try it because, let's be honest, St Mirren and Partick Thistle are quite similar in size. We're quite close proximity as well. We've also got Rangers and Celtic on our doorstep. So from the point of view of St Mirren fans and Partick Thistle fans, you're always fighting off trying to get people to support your team as opposed to the two bigger teams in Glasgow. So anything that we can do, we both get a similar ethos. And, you know, it works really, really well. You know, there's certain games, obviously, you wouldn't want to risk it. But hopefully it's something that this club can build on and maybe other clubs can look at and go, do you know what, if you pick certain fixtures and speak to the police, etc. I mean, we had the game on Friday night. It was a police-free game. I didn't know why I say that ahead of the game. But we agreed with the police prior to it, like, unless we get any intelligence that was going to be an issue, that we would have no police in the ground. Now, for a 4,500 crowd here with mixed areas in the family stand and a mixed area in the main stand, it's quite phenomenal that the police actually said, do you know what, you know, let's go police-free. They were there if we needed them. We could have called them in had we had any issues. But you know, we didn't actually have any issues, and that's testament to how good natured both sets of supporters are as well. But I think you do certainly have to pick your games, and I think I'm a great believer in small steps to change things. But the point is, you need to try and change mentality that football is not a family driven sport, that people don't necessarily come to the families. We are so family orientated. You know, when the SPL, or in the old SPL days, they had a family champions competition where they sent mystery families four times a year to do a full report on the club, and you didn't know they were coming, on when they buying tickets, how family orientated, lack of swearing and all that. And you know, we really pride ourselves on being able to do that. We won the competition 2 or 3 years. In fact, I think the 1 year we didn't win it, we should actually have won it, because my totting up was slightly different from others, but anyway, that's another story. But you know, that shows how family driven we are and how we got neutral people to come along to the game. We didn't know they were coming, so it wasn't a setup or anything like that. We actually reported, we came back really, really well, and people from down south, you know, who were some of the families that came, were saying, you know, we get really good feedback, and it made us then look at what we do as a football club, and we always need to be slightly different and obviously family orientated, community orientated, in order to compete, to be able to try and get new people. Because at the end of the day, if St Mirren help people, or people feel that it's more friendly to come to a St Mirren game, then that's the fan base of the future.
Our thanks also go to Ross Quayle and Davey Maines, who were co-commentators on St Mirren TV, and John Hillcoat, who was co-commentary on St Mirren Radio for Friday night's game against Partick Thistle. This week we'll return to our usual format as Jim Goodwin joins Dalen Doherty on co-commentary. If you're outside the UK and Ireland, you can watch that game on St Mirren TV for just €6.99 at www.smfcuws.tv. If you're in the UK and Ireland, but you can't make the game, we'll also have live commentary here on St Mirren Radio from 2:50. The St Mirren Show will return on Saturday ahead of the 3 p.m. kickoff against Raith Rovers. We'll be back on the midweek St Mirren Show next Wednesday from 6 p.m. But until then, come on you Saints.
This is St Mirren Radio, brought to you by the University of the West of Scotland. Look at what you could learn at uws.ac.uk.